Welcome to Benefit from the Bible, the Bible teaching ministry of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Parma, Ohio. For a printed copy of this sermon and many others, go to BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. God bless your listening. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, the first question today is, what is the Holy Christian Church? I believe that it includes all people who are repentant. That means all people who are sorry for their sins and trusting in Jesus Christ for eternal life. Another important reality of those who are members of the Holy Christian Church is that they are members of the one body of Christ. So try to picture a human body. Let's understand that Jesus Christ, he is the head of that body, and then each of us who are members of the Holy Christian Church, we are members of that body. What does that mean? That means we have a connection with each other. We've been united together in that one body. We need each other. We are called to function in harmony with each other. Last night, I was relaxing at the end of the day, and all of a sudden, I got this pain in my right foot. And I don't know where it came from. I don't know what it was about. I'm thankful it's gone now. But anyway, the point of it is, the whole rest of my body had a concern for my right foot. So just as our bodies work in that way, God wants us to know how we are connected together, how we are part of that one body of Christ. The more we think about that, the more we're going to care about each other, the more we're going to understand what God's intent is for us as members of the one holy Christian church. As we get into our text today, we're going to focus on Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16, and we're going to hit the topics of unity, gifts, structure, and purpose within the holy Christian church. First of all, taking a look at verses 1 through 3, God inspired St. Paul to write, "I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." So what about this calling that we have? This calling is when God was calling us by the Spirit through the Word to be members of the Holy Christian Church, to be in that one body of Christ, and he did that calling through the gospel. So he gave us faith by which we are trusting in Jesus Christ as Savior. So Paul is calling now those in Ephesus, those who are claiming to be in Christ, he's calling them to live lives that are worthy of this position that we are in of being God's holy children. Now, is Paul setting a good example? What did Paul write there? "I therefore a prisoner for the Lord." Paul was so serious about living for Christ that he ended up in prison. And we know that as time went on, Paul became even more serious in living for Christ to the point where he was finally put to death. So Paul was asking something of them that was far less than what he was already doing. He also called them to live in particular ways as they function together in this one body, in this holy Christian church. He said that they should live with humility. So to live with humility means to have a lowliness of mind. So we're not looking in the mirror and saying, "Wow, look at me. Look how big I am. Look how strong I am. Look how I can do anything I want to do. It's all about me." Lowliness of mind would be the opposite. So we are looking into the mirror and we are not being arrogant, but rather we are realizing that we are poor, weak sinners. God is the Almighty God, and with humility and by the grace of God, we are trusting in Him. That's our attitude as members of the one holy Christian church. We're also proceeding with gentleness. Now, gentleness could be interpreted as kindness or showing mercy to others, but another way to think about that, proceeding with gentleness, would mean without selfishness. Thus, noticing other people who are members of the one body of Christ, and having a genuine concern for them. God wants us to be that way. Also, too, Paul is calling us to live with patience. That means with endurance. That means not giving up, no matter how difficult it might be, knowing that God is with us and knowing that God's going to carry us through. And then he goes on in verses 4, 5, and 6 here. And if you count them up, you'll notice that the word one is used 7 times. 7 is God's number for perfection. Paul wrote, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." A lot about the word one. So I want you to think like this. We're talking about the one holy Christian church. But we understand today, though, that we have tens of thousands of different denominations, and all of them can have a connection to the one holy Christian church. Do you think when we go to heaven that we're going to have like the Lutheran section and then the Baptist section? Or are they going to break down the Lutheran section into like the 30 different groups of Lutherans that we have in the United States, and then all the different kinds of Baptists and the Methodists and the Catholics and so on? Is that how it's going to be? No, we're talking about oneness here. So again, who are members of the one holy Christian church? It would be those who are repentant. Those who know they are sinners, those who are sorry for their sins, those who know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, those who have their confidence in Him alone. It doesn't matter what denomination we're a part of. And realistically, some within the Lutheran church are not sorry for their sins and do not have faith in Jesus Christ. So all Lutherans will not be in heaven. The same can be said for every denomination. Some people are part of the Holy Christian Church, other people are not. It's all about our relationship with Jesus Christ. And then, within this one body of Christ, the one Holy Spirit is at work within that one body of Christ in order to keep those members united together and functioning well together in that one body. So to think about some of the ones that I read about, the ones who are in the one holy Christian church, they have one Lord. So they're all confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and even as Master. They have one faith. So they all believe basically the same thing. So we could say, for example, they all believe the Apostles' Creed. Why would I say that? The Apostles' Creed, that's a nice summary of the New Testament scriptures. So they are believing those things to be true. They also have one baptism. So they were all baptized into Christ. And when they were baptized into Christ, they were also made members of the one body of Christ. Therefore, they are also members of the one holy Christian church. So it's not all divided up by denomination, but all who are sorry for their sins, all who know Christ as Savior, they're all part of this wonderful, one holy Christian church. Then we come to the second part on the topic of gifts. So we begin in verse 7 where it says, "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift." So what is grace? Grace is God loving us, not because of who we are, but because of who He is. So God is giving gifts, but the gifts are not because we are good. The gifts are because God is good. So again it says, "But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when He ascended on high, He led a host of captives, and He gave gifts to men." So we could think there how 40 days after Easter, Jesus ascended into heaven. And before He ascended, what did He promise? He said, "Soon I'm going to give a gift. That's going to be the gift of the Holy Spirit." And then 10 days later, on the day of Pentecost, that is when from the Father He receives the Holy Spirit, And then he gives the gift of the Holy Spirit to all who are members of the Holy Christian Church. Having the Holy Spirit, what should that mean about our lives? Let's say we had an apple tree out there, and maybe about this time of the year, how would you know it was an apple tree? It had probably have apples on it, right? So that way we would know what it is by its fruit. So when God gives us the Holy Spirit, the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so on. So when we are members of the one body of Christ, when we are members of the Holy Christian Church, that means we have the Holy Spirit. And if we have the Holy Spirit, that means there's going to be fruit that's going to show in our lives, just like an apple tree would show its fruit. So we as Christians, we're going to show that fruit. But is our getting into heaven dependent on the fruit or upon Christ? It's dependent upon Christ. But God wants us to know, though, that when we know Christ, the fruit is also going to be there, and we want the fruit to mature more and more and more. If you put in a dwarf apple tree, it might take a number of years before you get much fruit, but over time, you'll get more and more. God wants us to be growing up in that way too, showing more and more the fruit of the Spirit. However, here though, after having said all of that, I don't think that's the emphasis here in verse 7. But rather, verse 7 is talking about the giving of gifts. And really, those gifts are identified now as we jump to verse 11. There are some things in verses 9 and 10. I give an explanation about that in the sermon. I went to that and into that in much more detail in early service. And we looked at the Greek text a little bit and tried to understand that it could be understood either in this way or in this way. It's hard to tell based on the comma. And the problem is that the comma is not in the Greek text. So how do you deal with that? But whether it means this or it means this, what it still means, though, is that Jesus Christ is God, that he did come down from heaven, that he did go back up to heaven, that he has been given all authority in heaven and on earth, and therefore he is able to give some very wonderful gifts. That's what that means. Let's go on to verse 11 as we come to the structure and the purpose of the Holy Christian Church. Talking about the gifts now that Christ has given, it says he gave these gifts, and really he gave them to bless the Holy Christian Church, thus the one body of Christ. So he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. So those are the gifts that I think this particular context is talking about. So what does that mean then? Let's go back here for a moment. So with the apostles, the word apostle literally means sent one. So Jesus called particular men, they lived with him, he taught them, they witnessed all the miracles, they witnessed his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and then they were sent in order to call all people to repent and to believe in the one who won our salvation. So they were to go to the ends of the earth in order to do that work. Those are the apostles. What about the prophets? They are the ones that are moved by the Holy Spirit in order to either speak and or write the very words of God. So we still have those great blessings even today. What about the evangelists? It's a little bit debatable as to whether evangelists were just back then or evangelists are still today. But let's see what the Bible says, though. The only one in the Bible that's identified as an evangelist is Philip. In Acts chapter 21, he is called the evangelist. Also, with Paul's letter to Timothy, Paul tells Timothy to do the work of an evangelist. What is the work of an evangelist? Paul told him, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with great patience and instruction. That's the work of an evangelist. And then we come to the topic of shepherds and teachers. So think, first of all, about a regular shepherd. So if you're a shepherd, that means you have a flock of sheep, and the shepherd's job was to feed the sheep and to protect the sheep. So as a pastor,
A pastor is also a shepherd, but rather a spiritual shepherd. So my job as a pastor is to spiritually feed and to spiritually protect. So you can see how very similar it is. So through what means is God wanting to work in order to accomplish what he has called me to do? The means is his very word. So what becomes so important then? It becomes vital that you are attending at a congregation where the pastor is being as diligent as he can in rightly understanding this book and then sharing this book with you in such a way that you're able to comprehend and you're able to benefit from. So I need to make sure I'm doing my work as best I can, but then what becomes important for all of you is that you are faithful then in receiving that teaching. The way that you can be blessed the most is by coming for as much of that as you can. And here at Bethlehem, we've tried to work it out in such a way that we have three services every week. We have our Bible class time, hopefully at a time that's not too early, not too late, workable for everyone. And then we also have the opportunity, like if you miss Bible class today, you can go right to our church website, you can go to our Bible study section, and you can pick up the entire thing right there, so you can do Bible class even though you weren't there. And you can also, well, not quite yet, but maybe tomorrow, you'll be able to pick up the sermon, both the printed version and also the audio version. So that way, even if you're hearing it now, you could read it again just to make sure you didn't miss anything. So we have all these opportunities. So I'm trying to do my best to bring the Word of God to you, but it's important that you're doing your best in order to receive it and benefit from it. It goes on to say then in verse 12 that pastors are given now to equip the saints. Who here is a saint? Is anyone here a saint? Oh, come on, now you guys should know that. You should all have your hands up. A saint is a holy one, and the Bible says that all who are faithful in Christ Jesus are saints. You mean to tell me that the majority of you are not faithful in Christ Jesus? Is that what you're telling me? I hope not. Who here is a saint? Come on now. Now, I know that sounds kind of unusual when we think about how saint is used in the world today, but the way it's used in the Bible, a saint is someone who is sorry for his sins and is believing in Jesus Christ alone as Savior. Now, that doesn't mean we're living a perfect life, but what it does mean, though, is that when God looks at us, he sees us to be perfect. He sees us to be holy ones. That's the basis upon which God will welcome us into heaven. So we have to be saints or we cannot go to heaven. God has made us saints in his sight through his Son, Jesus Christ. So God is wanting to work through me to equip you, to equip the saints, as it says, for the work of ministry or the work of service for the building up of the body of Christ. So here we are, the one holy Christian church. We're all members of the one body of Christ. And the idea is that we would be built up. Now, I should have Jeff come up front and just stand up front as an example of what it means to be built up. But Jeff is very diligent, and he just must work so hard in having the strength that he does. So I would love for our congregation, in a spiritual way, to look like Jeff. That's what I would like to see here at Bethlehem. So how do we do that, though? We have to, I suppose, have two Bibles and be doing something like this, right? Well, no, that's not going to work with like that. We have to actually read it. We have to know what it says. We have to believe it to be true. We have to put it into practice. So may God help us to be built up as a body of Christ. That's going to include knowing the Word of God better. That's going to include knowing each other better, loving each other more, caring about each other more. That's all part of being members of the body of Christ. So I'm trying to do the best I can to teach and to preach so that you can be equipped to serve. So what are some ways to serve? Well, after the sermon today, I'm going to have some men come forward and talk a little bit about this idea of people being on what we're calling the pastor team. So I have some other people now that I'm working with in the congregation, and that helps me to be a better pastor. So they have already been a blessing to me, and I look forward to further blessing in the future. That's one way to serve. Or I think about Donna being our Sunday school teacher today, and she knows the Word of God, so she is willing then to take what she knows and to impart that to the children. That's a way to serve. There are other ways to serve too, for example, by any of us looking with compassion upon our neighbors and then inviting them to come and to gather here with us to hear the Word of God and hopefully to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and to be with God forever. Well, at this point in the sermon, the problem is that I try to confine it to one sheet of paper. And the problem is I ran out of space now to be able to really expand much on the rest of the text. So I'm going to just read it, make a couple comments, and we'll conclude, okay? So let's go ahead and go on to verse 13. And the question I'm proposing here is, how long should we do these things of growing up in Jesus Christ? Well, God wants us to know that we'll never quite arrive, so he wants us to keep going until the day we die. It says we should keep going until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See, that's one of those lofty goals that you set way out there. And the thing is, you never quite arrive, but you can keep your eyes riveted on the goal, on the finish line. As long as you keep moving toward it, you're okay, even if you never finish. But at least you have your sights set in the right direction. That's important. And then we might say, for what purpose should we be doing these things? It goes on to say then, in verse 14, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Let's understand that we live in a world today that is filled with deceivers. And those people want nothing more than to trick us into saying no to Jesus Christ, in saying no to the truth of God's word, in saying no to God's will for our lives. Has it happened to many already? It has. I don't want it to happen to you or to me. So it's important that we gather. It's important that God continues to build us up, because if that doesn't happen, we're going to get pulled away. It's going to be a sad eternity. Verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So it's talking about this reality of being united together, growing up together, being strong and mature and obedient to Christ as the head of the body. These would all be wonderful things. Praise God that we are to the point we are now as a congregation, but certainly we have a long way to go. May God keep us on track. May God continue to build us up in that way. Let me conclude like this. Now, with hopefully a better understanding of the Holy Christian Church, let us remember our own individual parts that we have in the one body of Christ. Let us be equipped through God's word in order to serve. That's God's will for us. Let us firmly stand on God's truth and not get pulled by all kinds of crazy teachings. And finally, may God use each one of us that we might speak God's truth in love to others. And all God's people said, Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, give us a try at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma, Ohio. This is our Sunday schedule: service at 8, study at 9:30, service at 10:45. We also have a service on Mondays at 7 p.m. These are other ways to connect with us. Visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. Subscribe to our podcast by searching for Benefit from the Bible. Visit us on Facebook by searching for Bethlehem Lutheran Church Parma. Call us at 440-845-2230. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.